You know, over time, the meanings of words change. Are you aware of that? Like, for example, the most obvious word that has changed is the word gay. Yeah? 30 years ago, you'd say, I'm gay and happy. And, but today, it means something else, isn't it? Yeah, that's what it is. So, for example, you may not know, but even the word nice, has somebody said about you, you're a nice person? Now, we take it as a compliment. But many years ago, nice meant foolish. but now the meaning has changed. So now when you say nice person, you're saying they're nice, pleasant, this thing, you know. And yeah. And it was the same with the word silly. Many years ago, silly meant a blessed person. You know, but today, you say somebody's silly, they're foolish. Okay, things have changed. For example, today, people say, when they like something and it's good, they say, how is it? Oh, it's wicked. Have you heard that? Yeah. So meanings of words change over time. All right? And so, for example, you may have heard the word hospitable. You know? And so, what does it mean? Hospitable. Practice hospitality. Okay? And you see, we think hospitable means when I have my family over or friends over and we have a good meal together and that's practicing hospitality. But really, the word hospitable meant something else many, many years ago. Okay, if we look at the Greek where we find the word hospitable, for example, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You see, the word hospitality there meant this. Meant is made of two words, xenos and philio. Okay? Xenos means strangers and philio is love. It meant love for strangers. So, the real meaning of biblical hospitality is not inviting your mother-in-law over for a meal or your best friend. It's inviting people you don't know, strangers, people or you may know very little. All right? So this morning, we're going to look, we've digressed from Jonah. We'll come back to Jonah next week. But this morning, we're going to look at biblical hospitality. And I'm going to read that scripture again. Let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2. And says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Isn't that amazing? You know, you invite a first-time visitor to your for a meal. Maybe that person is an angel. Wow. That's what the Bible is saying. Anyway, let's pray this morning. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would open our hearts this morning to receive your word and to obey it, Lord. Help us, put your word into practice. I pray for your anointing upon me as I speak your word. Pray your anointing upon us to open our hearts and our ears to listen and to obey. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay. You see, we know Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's one more component after that. What is it? Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So baptism is not the end, it's the beginning. You join the church and then Jesus says, teach people to put into practice whatever I have commanded people to do. And that's the role of the leadership in the church, to help each one of us to obey. And we do that two ways. We do that, one, by preaching and teaching and exhorting and encouraging. And number two, we do that by putting it into practice and leading by example. And so this morning, I'm going to share from God's word about what does it mean to be hospitable. In Hebrews 13, we've seen, the writer says, practice hospitality. Okay, it's not a suggestion, it's an instruction, it's a command. Look at Romans chapter 12. Just turn to Romans chapter 12 and we see the theme and the command of hospitality. Come there again. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 onwards. It says, let love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Next verse. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. You see, it's all talking about love. Next verse. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. All these things it's saying there. And then it says, where is that thing? Romans 12, verse 13. We'll go on. He says, contribute to the needs. Verse 13. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now keep in mind, hospitality is not having your mother-in-law or your brother-in-law for a meal or your best friend. What is it? Strangers. Okay? The biblical word is love for strangers. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you go to the street and you pick somebody up and say, please come to my house for dinner. we don't have to let go of our brains when we obey God's word. We've got to understand that it's people we may not know so well. Anyway, we'll get into this. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Then 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Yes, Peter as well. We looked at Hebrews. We looked at Paul writing in Romans. And Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Okay? Without grumbling. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, we see that for a person to qualify to be a church leader, one of the qualities is this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable. What's the next word? Hospitable. Okay, to qualify to lead people in the church, that person must be hospitable. Okay, and the same thing is said in Titus. We won't look at that. But turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Where Paul is writing, he says, there may be widows in the church who have no husband. That's why they're widows. They have no family. They are in need. Should we, now there must have been a lot of widows at that time. He says, now, on what basis should we look after them? And he said this, no widow may be put on the list of widows. This is a list of widows who are going to be helped. Unless she's over 60. Has been faithful to her husband and is well known for a good deed such as bringing up children and showing hospitality. So it's not just for leaders in the church, it's for everybody in the church, men, women, and others. Okay. So I want to ask us this morning, how can we obey God's word? Okay, what does it mean to be hospitable? And why should we be hospitable? Are there any examples in Scripture? We've looked at the instructions to be hospitable this morning, so we are clear. God's word tells us to be hospitable. But right from Genesis, all the way to the end of the Bible, okay, we see so many examples of people being hospitable. Okay, it starts with in Genesis 18 with Abraham. You remember Abraham? Yeah. Three people came. It was the Lord himself that came. And we look at that passage in a bit, but he went out and offered hospitality to these strangers. Just in the next chapter, in Genesis 19, Lot does the same thing. Two angels come, and he sees them in the city square, and he pursues them, and he brings them into the thing, okay, into his home. So throughout Scripture, you look at the prophets, Elisha, they enjoyed the hospitality of people. You know, there's a widow of Zarephath who looked after one of them. There was another lady who looked after the other. Okay, we see Jesus in the New Testament. Okay, he spent the week of the Passover in whose house? Mary and Martha's home in Bethany. He was there for several days enjoying their hospitality. Okay? We see Peter enjoying people's hospitality. We see Paul, the same thing, journeying from one place to the other. when Lydia was converted, Lydia's heart was turned to the Lord. And she told Paul, if you consider me a believer, come and stay in my house. You know, practicing hospitality. So we see throughout Scripture that hospitality is practiced. But sadly, what has happened today in our modern world is, you know, we guard our time, we guard our space, we consider it an intrusion when people come over. Okay, we're so busy doing everything that we have no time to obey this command of hospitality. And so I want to share this morning that, you see, God wants us to love. We looked at the Romans passage. Love but be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Yeah, okay, but how? How do we outwork that? And the way we outwork that is practice hospitality. Okay, so now let's look at what hospitality is and what it is not. Now, sometimes, when we were on the training, we were invited to somebody's home in Goa, Nawaz and I, okay, for a meal. And when you're on the training, you're on a very, very tight budget, okay, tight budget. You've got to manage everything within that, and you look forward to being invited to somebody's home, all right, because you know you'll get a great meal there, and we do that, you know. So we were all invited to this couple's home. They were an older couple, and they were rich. And we looked at the spread before. This was an old Goan home. Wow! There was every kind of meat conceivable on the table, and salads and desserts, and it was a buffet, a feast. It was great. Okay, and we just thank God for their generosity in the hospital. Now, you know, in the Indian mindset, we think when I invite somebody home, I've got to put out that kind of a spread. And we realize that we can do that only once a year or twice a year. Okay? That is not biblical hospitality. Okay? It's good to do that. We can do that. But really, hospitality is we are inviting people in. We're sharing with them what we have. We may do a little extra, you know, but keep it simple. Okay, the key thing is fellowshipping with one another, getting to know one another over a meal. Okay, because so if you're going to have a huge buffet kind of meal, you know, your wife will say, listen, we can do it once a year. That's it. But if it's a simple meal, okay. Now the other extreme is where you don't do anything. You know, where you say, well, today we are having bread and water, so we'll give you bread and water. So that's the other, now I'm sure you wouldn't do that. But you know, that's the other extreme where we do nothing, you know, and this thing. But listen, you can do something, all right? So hospitality is not entertaining. Hospitality is where we're sharing, you know, what we have. Maybe a little bit more than what we have normally. But the point is we are spending quality time with one another, sharing our lives, fellowshipping with one another. Okay, so that's what hospitality is not. The second thing hospitality is not, it's not about you, it's about the person who's there. You know, some people, they love to have people over. Why? They want to boast about all that they have. They come and see my beautiful house. Come and see all my medals on the wall. All the trophies I got when I was in kindergarten. I won the lemon and spoon in the lemon race. The three-legged race, I did that. I won the spelling contest in the first standard, and they can go on and on. And then it says, okay, and this shelf is my son's medals. You know, this is what he did, and in the third standard, he did this, and you know. So hospitality is not about you trying to boast and share all your achievements and everything with a person, and the next time you invite them, they say, no, I'm not coming. Okay? So hospitality is where we are sharing our lives. Okay? We share a little bit about ourselves. They share a little bit about ourselves. It's not a time where we gossip about the other people. But it's, you know, a simple thing. Hey, how did you come to know Jesus? When did you first? Because really, he's the one we are most concerned about. Okay? Great. So you know one another's story. It's amazing to listen to stories of people of how they encountered the Lord. Each one is different. Each one is special and unique. Okay, and let me go deeper. You know, what's the Lord been doing in your life? What do you give thanks for this week or last week? What's happened? Okay, we do that. And then we say, you know, what are the challenges you're facing? What can I pray for you? So there's a wholesome conversation. And then you can even talk about the Sunday message or something that's happening in the gym group or this thing. And what you're talking about, you're not critiquing it, but you're saying, how am I applying it to my life? You know, what am I doing? And so there's wholesome conversation that leads to prayer, and often it leads to mission, where we have a common goal and common needs, and we are working together towards that. Okay? So hospitality is not about yourself, it's about engaging and making others feel comfortable and doing that. Okay? So wives, ladies, those who are in charge of the cooking, you know, there could be men as well. It's not a matter of 10 dishes. Keep it simple. Keep it loving. That's the aim of it. Now, the third thing about hospitality is I want to share in our context is often what happens is, you know, there's a lovely meal is spread, the table is set, and where is the wife? She's in the kitchen, you know, and the guests are all there. And she wants to make sure that everything is hot and everything is ready and this thing. Now, praise God. In India, the culture is we want to serve our guests, and that is a very good thing. But remember, the aspect of hospitality is fellowship. Okay? So put the stuff there on the table. Wives, come and join in. All right? So we can eat together and talk together. All right? So let's do that. Because remember, the key thing is the fellowship, the sharing that is happening over the meal. Okay. Yeah. Now, we've looked at what hospitality is not. We looked at what hospitality is. Okay? It's this. How many like being invited for a meal? Nobody, few. We like it. It's nice. It's good. All right? You feel pampered. You know? We love going to Meher's house. Meher pampers us with lots of stuff. You know, she's so gracious, so hospitable. You know, and others, not just Meher. But, you know, but the point is, it's great. It feels good, doesn't it? And the Christian life is this. We receive and we give. We receive and we give. Now, what can happen, and this is what hospitality is not, is we can invite those we will receive from. Right? And we say, listen, I'm going to invite Meher so that Meher will invite me back. And next week I'll invite Meher. And then Meher will invite me back. And this goes on and on and on. No. Okay, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he gave us other instructions for hospitality. He says Luke 14, 12 to 14. He says, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers. This is Jesus. Or your relatives or rich neighbors. Lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Okay? So the hospitality thing, you know, is not with that intention. You're giving and inviting people, not really expecting anything back. Okay? You're saying, and Jesus says, listen, don't expect anything back. The Father will reward you at the resurrection. All right? So let's keep that in mind. There is a reward. Wow. Can you imagine? Jesus said, if you give a cup of water to somebody because he's my disciple, you will receive a reward. Imagine if you give whatever you give, tandoori chicken or this thing or whatever. There's a great reward. Okay. Yeah. So there is a reward, and we've got to look to Jesus to give us a reward, not a question of being invited back. In our, you know, in one of the values, strong values of Word of Grace Church is that we invite people for a meal after the Sunday service. How many of you been invited? Tell me, for a meal. Taken out at Word of Grace Church for a meal, yeah? Almost lots of people. Okay, have you been invited, everybody? Yeah? For a meal? Yes. Okay, you know, and how did that, you know, how does that happen? Because we want to put this, and why does that happen? Because we want to put this value into practice. Okay, I remember in my travels, going to different places in the world, and going to a church meeting. We've enjoyed wonderful worship. The word has been good. The fellowship over coffee or whatever has been great. And it's 12:30. You're hungry. The person you're talking to is hungry. And then you say bye. And you walk out into the, not sunset, but noontime, you know, alone. And it's such a, how could he say, such a anticlimax to the morning. You know? But imagine you come to a meeting and you get several invitations for lunch. You don't know them, they don't know you, but they're saying, hey, are you free to join us for lunch? Wow. And if you can make it, you do it. And it's amazing. And I remember this happened to Nawaz and myself in Holland. We went to this church and, you know, they didn't speak the language. We didn't speak the language. I mean, they didn't speak too much English. We didn't speak Dutch. But at the end of the meeting, half the church came up to us and said, would you like to join us for lunch? Wow. And we took the first invitation, of course. And those people, those homes, that home that we went to, you know, we are still friends with them. You know, after 17 years, they came to us in Pune. They stayed with us. We went and stayed with them again. And they came and stayed with us over one meal. Isn't that amazing? One meal can build lots of stuff. You know, so I want to encourage you. Yeah. What we encourage people on a Sunday morning is this. If we all live at different places, far away from one another, it's very difficult during the week to get together. But on a Sunday morning, as we come here to worship our Lord Jesus, at 12:30 after the chips and the cold drink, we're thinking about lunch. Okay? My exhortation to you is, don't waste that one meal out of 21 meals by eating alone. Okay, find somebody in the congregation and say, let's eat together. Find one or two people. Now, we've been doing that for years. And it's been so rich meeting up with people, eating with them, getting to know them. You know, you can take them anywhere. Take them to Sahil, take them to Dorabji's, take them to a restaurant close by, or take them to your home, you know, whatever. But can we invest in that? Okay, and we are looking at inviting people who may be alone, who may be new, you know, and especially the singles and others, and we'll do that. Now, I want to talk to the singles this morning as well. You know, often we say in India, you know, I'm a bachelor. What it means is I'm helpless. I've only got the recipe to boil an egg. That's what I can do. Okay, I think you put it in a pan and, you put water as well. And you light it and you keep it on for so many minutes and then you break the shell and you eat it. You know? Now, please, we're not going to be helpless like that. All right? Whether if you're a single lady or a single man, you may not have a home where you can invite people in. Maybe you're staying as a paying guest and there are many people there and you can't do that. So, does that exclude you from practicing hospitality? No, no. What can you do? Listen, I'll tell you what you can do. You can invite people over to a restaurant and you can have a meal with them. You can team up with somebody else who has a home and say, can I use your home? You know, I'd love to cook for you and I would like to invite somebody else. So you can do a lot of different things. I want to tell you. And all that I'm sharing is something that I've practiced when I was 18 and a student living in Cyprus. Okay? I've had families in my home. You know, it was always a great opportunity to clean up the house when you invite guests, because through the week the dishes would be piling and everything would happen. And then I've invited somebody for a meal, so great, I've got to clean up everything. So that would happen. Okay? As a single, I would take food for a church potluck. You know, sometimes singles say, I'm single, I can't bring anything, I can buy a loaf of bread. No, you can do much more than that. Okay? Men and women. Right? You know, and being an Indian, I would cook an Indian curry there and take it. And I tell you, the food would be swiped. They loved the curry. You know? That's it. So this is singles. Okay? And it applies to families as well. But can we be a people who are extending ourselves? Now, why should we practice hospitality? That's a great question. Why do it? One, we know it's instructed here. But I'm going to give you another scripture. Okay. This is in Where is it? Leviticus 19, 33 and 34. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34. Do we have that? When an alien or a stranger lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Okay? And so the reason that we have got to be visitor friendly and stranger friendly is this. God says that, remember, he's telling the Israelites. He said, remember, you were once slaves in Egypt. You all were aliens. You all were strangers there. And when he says, I am the Lord your God, Exodus 20 verse 2 continues it. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So what is God really saying? He's telling the Israelites, you guys were slaves. Okay, I have rescued you out of Egypt when you were strangers and aliens there and brought you into the promised land. So I want you to be hospitable towards other strangers and aliens. Get it? Now, you can say, I was not in Egypt. I'll tell you what, we were. So the Bible says, we were dead in our sins and our transgressions. That's what we were. God has redeemed us. He has saved us. Our destiny is heaven. If you are saved, that's your destiny. And so because we have this great salvation, we practice hospitality. Amen? Now, Peter says, do not practice hospitality grudgingly. What does that mean? That means we've got to do it with our hearts. Our hearts have got to be in it. Now, don't say, okay, Colin said, practice hospitality. So you go up to somebody and say, you want to come for dinner? Put your heart into it. All right? We got to put our heart into it. Okay? And I want to read a story about a guy who practiced hospitality and what happened. Listen to this. One stormy night, an elderly couple entered the lobby of a small hotel and asked for a room. Stormy night. Remember, we've had stormy nights here. The clerk said that all the rooms were filled and all the hotels in town were filled as well. Okay, he could have said, listen, sorry, no room. All the hotels are filled. Sorry. But this is what he went on to say. But I can't send a fine couple like you out in the rain, he said. Would you be willing to sleep in my room? Amazing. Isn't that hospitality? Total strangers. He doesn't know them from Adam or Eve. And there's no room. But he says, I'll give you my room. The couple hesitated. But the clerk insisted. The next morning when the man paid his bill, he said, you're the kind of man who should be managing the best hotel in the United States. Someday I'll bill you one. Stranger talking to you. The clerk smiled politely. A few years later, the clerk received a letter from the elderly man, recalling that stormy night and asking him to come to New York. Wow. A round trip ticket was enclosed. When the clerk arrived, his host took him to the corner of 5th Avenue and 34th Street, where stood a magnificent new building. That, explained the man, is the hotel I have built for you to manage. The man was William Waldorf Astor, and the hotel was the original Waldorf Astoria. Isn't that an amazing story? I mean, amazing. Okay? One night, the guy gave his room, and he got to manage this great hotel. All right? And we have Jesus, not William Waldorf Astoria, was saying, if you give a cup of water to one of my disciples, you will surely not lose your reward. Can you imagine the great rewards that Jesus has in store for us for our practicing of hospitality? Isn't that amazing? All right. Let's just quickly turn to Genesis 18, and we wind this up. In Genesis 18, we see an example of Abraham practicing hospitality. And quickly, I want to look at three things. Genesis 18 says, "And the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat by the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran down from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant.'" So they said, "Do as you said." The first thing we notice there is this. It was Abraham who pursued the men. Do you see that? Abraham didn't wait for them to come and for them to ask and say, you know, "Can we stay with you? Will you give us a meal?" No, Abraham was on the lookout. He saw them. He went to them. In the next chapter in Genesis 19, it's the same thing with Lot. Lot saw the two angels. He saw the two men. He says, "Listen, don't spend the night in the square. Come with us." So for us this morning, I want to urge you to pursue hospitality. At the end of the meeting, look around and say, "Hey, who's new? Who can I take out for a meal?" That's your investment. All right. The next thing he did was he did this. So he sat down, he washed their feet, he refreshed them. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, get the atta out for the chapati, knead it, make it into this thing." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, gave it to the young man who prepared it quickly, and so forth. So what did Abraham do? He didn't just say, "Okay, we've got yesterday's food, let's give it to them." All right? He went and it cost him something. So the second thing is he prepared. It cost him a calf. He got his wife. You know, so hospitality will cost you something. All right? We don't want to offer anything to the Lord that costs us nothing. Okay? So there was a cost. And he did that. And so when we have people over, there is a cost involved. You know, when you have people staying over, there is a cost involved. Okay? When you take people out. Next. The third thing he did is after he did all that, then he took the curds and the milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. So he was ready. The third thing to do was he presented it to them and he served them. It was all about them, not about him. Okay. So this morning, I want to urge this word of grace. First of all, I want to commend the church. We are a very hospitable church. I can name people after people who've been outstanding in their hospitality. Great. Okay? Hospitality doesn't depend on how big your home is. It's how big your heart is. Okay? And each one here in Word of Grace, I want to say to you, will you choose to be hospitable? All right? And I'm not just talking about Blinch, which is next Sunday. We don't want a one Sunday thing, but this is a lifestyle, all right? And so we're going to end this morning, and I want you to examine your hearts and say, am I a hospitable person? Remember the definition of hospitable. It's not your mother-in-law, not your best friend. It's having people you don't know in your home, strangers. They may be different from you, okay? And that's okay, you know? Okay, so, and the second thing is, if you're not, say, "Okay, Lord, help me to be one." We don't want to stay where we are. And my prayer, you know, as a leadership team, we ensure that at least twice or three times a month, every Sunday, we are eating with somebody in the church. Okay, because we want to build community. And that's what the early church did. They broke bread and ate together with glad and sincere hearts in people's homes. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you so much that you have saved us and you have called us to a great life. Lord, I pray for Word of Grace this morning, for your grace upon us to be a hospitable people, Lord, that we would open our hearts, our homes, and our wallets to show the love of Jesus to strangers, to people we may not know. Lord, I pray that you would enable us to do this, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.